sorrowful, awesome Lord. Victorious warrior, commanding King of Kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time. The only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He called me by surprise when God ran. I left home. I knew I'd broken his heart. And I wondered then if things could ever be the same. Then one night I remembered
the Lord. Take your Bibles, please. Be turning to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Oh, brother, thank you for that. I appreciate it. It means a lot to me. I got off the airplane, Brother Brian, at Love Field, and I just, well, it was after my second tour there overseas, and the way that it's designed out there, we got off the aircraft, you know, and went to the main concourse, and all of a sudden, I looked up. Sorry. And my dad and mother and my sister were there. And Floyd and my daddy started running toward me. In my heart, I can still see that. One of these days, I'm going to tell him what that meant to me. Oh, and by the way, he hugged me and kissed me too. Yeah, and I'm so grateful and thankful. Happy Father's Day, fathers. In preparing this for this morning, really, what do you say? Like I said about Mother's Day, I preached almost 30 messages on Mother's Day, and now 30 on Father's Day. But the Lord took me this direction. And fathers, I think I can speak for you too. I some of you, maybe all of you have done this. But when you get up in years especially, you start thinking about the fact that you're getting closer to home than you really are here. And you start thinking about this life in the physical is not eternal. Thankfully, it's not eternal. Sister Melba, I used to ask her, Sister Melba, how you doing today? And she'd say, I'm fine. Now, she can do this. When you hit 90 plus, you can say whatever you want to. I'm telling you right now. But I said this morning, I asked her this morning, Sister Melba, how are you? And she says, well, I'm okay. But so we start coming into the reality. When we're younger, we think we're invincible. We're going to live forever. But you're thinking it's about here. No, you're not. So when you do start thinking about that, and especially if you're a father, I've often thought about what would or should I say to my children? Before I leave this earth, what could I say to my children that I would want them to know and understand? What could I share with them that through my lifetime and my experiences would help them? If you want to leave a legacy, allow that inheritance to be wisdom that will help them to endure until the Lord comes back or until you go to Him if you're born again. And that's exactly what King David does in our text this morning. Just seriously, I don't want to take much time. I just want to take and do what the Word of God does. I want to take it right to the core, the heart of this message. The Bible is going to tell us that David is dying. Sorry, a little emotional this morning. I'll think about my day. But David is dying. And he realizes that he needs to speak with his son because God had already let him know that Solomon was going to be the one to succeed him. And then God's making him some promises here that we'll see in just a moment that he knows David is king, but not for much longer. And in this, he knows what his son's going to be up against. I would that we hadn't lost what we're going to see here now, because you can tell that that our leadership is not prepared the way it ought to be anymore. What made this country what it was made to be. is what it ought to still be. And David understood that way back then. And he didn't want that to happen to his son. He wanted him to be right and just in what he did. And so thinking about what it is that I would want to share with my children, first and foremost, I would want them to know that I love you. And tell your brothers and sisters, I was telling them, okay, I do love you. But I also want you to know that God loves you more. So much more. Say, Brother John, why would you want them to know that? So that they could love God more. Yeah. Brother Mitchell, you were talking about magnifying God in our lives. That's how you do it, is loving God. Amen. And David is going to point out what that means and how that's accomplished. And if, children, listen to me, if you will do that, if you'll get your love life right, everything else will fall into place. That's not just Daddy saying that. God said that. Because God is telling David, and he's told Solomon there in chapter 3 especially, what he tells him is that you keep my commandments and my laws. And he told David, your children will sit on the throne forever. Oh, and by the way, God keeps his word. Fathers and daddies, that needs to be an example for us. God keeps his words. Now, if you would, stand with me and open to the first chapter. Second chapter of 1 Kings. And we'll begin in verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Now, do you understand what that means? It all dies. Everything dies. Rock formations die. Let me just say this real quick. When Adam sinned, everything died. He didn't just affect mankind. What he did, what sin does, all living dies. It has and will. That's the wisdom of David talking to Solomon. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Now, Brother Steve, that's the title of this message. And it's S-H-E-W, not O-W. All right, just want to make sure you understand. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, a man on the throne of Israel. If you'll do that, I guarantee you it will not fail that your descendants will sit on the throne, on your throne, on my throne, David, from now on. Dads, let me ask you something. What greater thing could you say and do for your children than that? May I answer that for you? You can't. There's nothing better that we could do and that we ought to do for his honor and glory and for our children's greatest good. Amen? Brother Perry, will you take us to the throne of grace, please, sir? Amen. Thank you. May be seated. How does this happen? How does this come about? Show thyself a man. Well, fellas, and ladies, I want you to understand something. Just as we said, when God joins two together into one flesh, married folks, this is for everybody. Also remember that God's Word is for and to all of us. But there are certain situations that apply to certain ones. Does that make sense? I hope so, because I'm not saying it again. And that's what we need to do and how we need to do it. And so we just need to understand that I am going to be speaking to fathers today. And fathers to sons. Though for my daughters, this applies to you too, but it's father to son here, David to Solomon. And fathers, we'll be talking like the same thing for us here this morning. And in this, notice in verses 1 and 2, it's important, very important to show ourselves a man. Now, fellas, I'm talking to y'all. Make sure that, because the world doesn't understand that. I came that close this morning to define what a woman is and what a man is. The world doesn't understand it. Our government can't explain it, can't define it, and Hollywood won't do anything but love it. So I'm talking about what a man is, and God's telling us what a man is. David's telling us what a man is because he's telling Solomon what a man is. The importance of showing thyself a man. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, now I want you to know that's when he says, when he charged him, he said, listen, it's your responsibility now. I'm charging you with this knowledge, this understanding, this wisdom. And he says that I'm charging you. Then he goes on and says, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Amen? It's what he's saying, son, let me put it in today's vernacular. If you don't listen to anything else I say or hear anything else I say, listen to this. What did he say and what did he mean by that? He says, be thou strong, therefore. He's telling him, you've got to be strong. At the very heart of things here, he's expressing this burning desire to say, look, if you'll do this, it will overshadow everything else. He says, be strong, show thyself a man. In other words, everything, and now watch this, here's the responsibility. Those of you in business know what I'm talking about. When somebody puts you in charge, guess what happens? Everybody else is looking at you. That's exactly right. Everyone else is watching you. Brother Jeremy, you and I have talked about this many times. One of the things that we find successful in our lives is, watch this, knowing that when people talk to you, they trust you because they know what you're going to do. Because you've shown yourself a man. That they're watching you. They're seeing how you respond to things, what you do. And David is telling Solomon, listen, of everything I could ever say to you, I understand that you're going to have need of things. As a matter of fact, David was king. David did something that the other kings couldn't do. David brought both tribes, north and south, together. Amen. As one nation. David did that. David's telling, listen, he's now been charged, says, listen, God's going to call you. You're being called of God to be the next king. No doubt he needed some military intelligence experience. Brother Cliff, he needed you there to teach him that. He would need some of that. Not only that, but he'd need to know about economics. He'd have to know about the treasuries of the nation. About his armed forces. He needed to know all. He needed people skills. But are those the things that David addressed? No, he could have, but he didn't. What he addressed was the most important. That which has a foundation. If you don't build on the right foundation, you're not going to have a structure that'll stand long. David is saying, this is a thing that I must share with you. I said a while ago that I would take and explain when I said fathers and dads. I don't know necessarily if you're here this morning, but those that will be watching this, you may not have fathered a child, but you can be a daddy to that child where there is no father or one that chose not to be. I have a nephew that adopted two children when he got married. And he told them, he said, "I am not your father, I know that, but I'll be your dad." You remember when Jesus cried out, "I have a father"? Do you realize what he was saying? Daddy, father. Those of you who are fathers, it is a double blessing for you to be a dad as well. Boy, that's the loving side. When my father showed up, I wanted to die. I just wanted to die. And I almost did because he nearly killed me. But boy, I'll tell you what. When you're talking about ran to him, he ran to me. That was my daddy. Sitting up in his lap. Boy, admiring everything they did. Jeremiah, do you understand any of this? Y'all don't need to know. Listen, like father, like son. Solomon's saying, "Son, I want you to be like me, only because I've always wanted to be like God. Son, I made a terrible mistake in my life, and that's going to be remembered of me. But I ask my father's forgiveness, and he forgave me. Now I'm going to spend the rest of my life showing my father I'm a man." A real man will admit it when he's wrong. A real man will ask forgiveness when it's needed. David is saying, all these other things are important, but the foundation is the most important. And for dads, same foundation. You keep loving those children. By the way, I didn't mention, but those two precious young ladies, when they got older, they had their names legally changed to his. So dads, I love you. I thank you. I appreciate you. I think of them. I call them Psalm 27:10 dads. Do y'all know what Psalm 27:10 says? "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Thank you, dads. Not only the importance in showing thyself a man, but Scripture says the identifying in showing thyself a man. I mentioned, listen, you show yourself a man and others are going to understand what a man is. You know what? Seriously. You don't even have to stand there and try to explain it. Just do it. Let them see what a real man does. That's what Scripture's talking about here. So when he said, "Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man," he wasn't talking about none of that. He's talking about from within. The Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." David is talking about, "Son, I want you to be strong from within." Because if you're strong, watch this, if you're strong within, it's going to come out. That strength is going to come out. And he says in here that literally the most important words that a dying man can say to his son, "Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man," because God's word, watch, that's so important to us, not just Solomon, for God's word never changes. And what was good for Solomon is good for us, men, and for our sons. And that's what he's saying here. Not only that, he said, how do you do that? First of all, you live for God with all your heart. Live with God with all your heart. In other words, what was he talking about when he said that we were to obey? In verse 3, look at that. "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies." What does he mean by that? Listen, if we'll obey God, keeping those things that he's told us to do, if we obey him, we're going to be living for God. I watch when my son-in-law tells my grandson, "Where'd Damien go?" I know he's old. "Oh, he left too, huh?" But anyway, I watch when my son-in-law says, Son, that yard needs to be mowed. Damien says, yes, sir. Next thing I know, I look out there, he's mowing the lawn. Now, the lawn's 6 acres, but he is on one of them riding things. Amen. I'm going to wait a minute. I watched obedience lie in life. Show thyself a man, he's saying. That's what needs to be done. We're to love and live for God with all of our heart, being obedient. Not only that, but we look to God's word for guidance. See, you can't be obedient if you don't know what to obey. And so you've got to look for God's guidance. The Bible says, look, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God. When it gets down there, watch it. He says, as it is written in the law of Moses. Now he's saying, you've already got the example. It's in my word. Well, what word did they have? Well, we call it the Pentateuch. The first five, okay, the first five books of the Old Testament is all they had. The Torah, that was there. That was their Bible. Here's what I love about this. God says, you want to know? David says, you know what it is. You've read it. It's in the book of Moses. Books of Moses. Just do it. There it is. That was their Bible at that time. And what he was saying is, listen, a real man is going to take and study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. That's exactly what... And you say, well, wait a minute, Brother John. The Bible that we have today, the New Testament, the complete Word, it didn't come along for thousands of years. Yeah, and it didn't change. Amen. There's just the rest of what the Lord had to say. Because centuries later, in Acts 20, verse 32, here's what Paul wrote. And now, brethren, I commend to you God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So David was saying, son, this is going to carry you through life. This is exactly what you need. As a matter of fact, there are going to be those times. There's going to be those nights. There are going to be those situations when you're not going to know what to do. But yet God will tell you. Son, I won't be here. I'm leaving. I'll be there when you get there. But until then, you're going to have situations in your life that you're not going to know what to do. But God's there. He'll tell you what to do. We were without a pastor at one time all of a sudden. We'd never done this before, and us deacons got together over at, it wasn't Steve's house, it was over at Carolyn's house. We were sitting around her table, and she brought us out her pies. But then it really got sweet when we opened the Word of God because we started praying. God, what do? I've still got my old Bible we had on y'all's table that night. And I still have in my Bible what y'all have in yours. Our tears. I'm serious. We literally were praying so fervently that our tears were hitting our Bible pages. And guess what? God told us what to do. Not only that, but He told us how to do it. David's telling Solomon, son, this is what you got to do. You look to the Word of God for guidance. And you do that because God's Word is truth. And watch this. God's Word is truth. Because the Word is Jesus, His Son. Whew. I did not know about this. I had to read about this. But in Washington, D.C., in the Library of Congress, there is a copy of the Constitution. And the printing in it is shaded in such a way that they say that if you get down and you look at it at a certain angle, that you see the face of George Washington. And the thought of the matter is that in Scripture, if you look at it just right and start reading it, every page fitly joins together, and when you look at it, the face of Jesus is right there in front of you. And listen, David's telling something, listen, that's God's Word. It's true. What I'm telling you cannot fail you. It's all about God. As a matter of fact, in John 5:39, the Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me," says Jesus, the Word. I told you He was on every page. Our ancestors told He was on every page. This just, when John said it, because God told him, that settles it. He is. He spoke of the law of Moses. Read the Word. John 5:46 says, "For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me," Jesus said. Isn't that something? The New Testament came along. When the Word spoke of Himself, He's saying, if you'd have believed Moses, you'd have known who I am. I'd never thought of it like that before. Mitchell, that hit me like one of them rocks there. They were thrown in the fire the other night. Wow, there it is. In Jesus' high priestly prayer. One of Tim Pruitt. And y'all keep praying for Sister Connie. Went to the hospital yesterday to be with him. It was a very difficult time. And I want you to know God was so gracious. I walked into that room, and as I was walking in the room, the nurse was standing there, and Brother Tim right by the bed. But that's not who I heard talking. I heard Connie talking. Amen. She had been unresponsive all night, all day. They didn't know what was wrong, didn't know what to do. I don't know. I know who does know what to do. But you keep praying for her. I'll just say this. She wasn't not responding anymore. We talked about everything from politics to the priesthood. I say that because Brother Tim, in my favorite chapter in all of Scripture just about, is John 17. It is truly the Lord Jesus' prayer. It was His heart. And in verse 17 it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That's what Jesus is asking of His Father. About us, by the way. Just so we put it all in perspective. Amen? In verse 20, Jesus says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word." Amen. That's me and you. Amen. Some of y'all won't get on this train they rode up around the mountain that you saw on there. That's us. Wasn't just for them. It's for us. Verse 8 says, "For I have given in unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." And then in Titus 2:11 goes on to say, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Whew. All for one and one for all. God gave that for whosoever would. Gave it for each and every one of them. And if you're saved this morning, it's because you believed Him, because you believed the Word, because the Word is Jesus. There is what it is and who He is. I know that Jesus is the example here. No question about it. You want to know what a real man is? You're not going to find a more real man than Jesus. Yes, He was real God, is real God, will always be real God. But He was also real man. And the Bible says that He was tempted in every way that we are. And that, as a matter of fact, put up Hebrews 4:15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now, I know your very first thought is now, "Yeah, Brother John, but we're not Jesus. We can't do that." Listen, I agree with you. No doubt in my mind. But we can act more like Him than what we are. Do you not understand, fellas? We are being molded into the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, But Brother John, it's not possible for us to do that. I know. Us bunch of failures. Oh, but we're not failures. Why? Because of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now watch this. Sinless? No, there was only one who was ever sinless. In humanity. In deity, he can't sin. In humanity, he chose not to sin. Sinless for us? No. Sinning less? Yes. That's going to be a pastor's pearl. Sinless? No. Sin less? Yes. Because we're doing it through His power, His strength. Lastly, not only the importance of showing thyself a man, identifying in showing thyself a man, but lastly, it's imperative. I tried to stay and keep them all fitting together, the imperatives of showing thyself a man. You're not going to do it if you don't do it. Come on, dads, that makes sense. You can know it, but if you don't apply it, you're not doing it. You know, this is it, and we're done. Notice there in verse 3, the latter part of that says, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. To my children, if you'll obey and live for God, you'll never fail. You won't. You mean I'll be a tri-billionaire and all that stuff? That's not success. If you get that, fine. You'll use it for God's honor and glory. You know why? Because you'll be obedient unto His word. Amen. You say, well, but couldn't I at least buy something with it? Ask Job. He's the wealthiest man in the universe. He puts all these, Brother Brian, to shame. And you know how he did it? You know how he did it? Obeying God, His word, loving Him, living for Him. So what are we to do? Strive to be our personal best. The only way that you and I are going to thrive is if we strive to be our personal best. Why? Because God wants you to have this. You look around us. Brother Mitchell, you were pointing out to the young people up on that mountain. Brother Larry took me to a part of the mountain I didn't plan to go on. But because I didn't know how far away Brother Mitchell was taking us, I was out of gas when I got up on top of the mountain. If it hadn't been being on top of the mountain, Tina, we coasted all the way down into... He didn't tell... We're in Oklahoma. For heaven's sake, we went to Oklahoma. The next thing we knew, we was in Arkansas. We didn't find a gas station until we got to Mena. And I said, how are we going to know if we're in Mena? He said, because that's when the mountain stops and you'll roll into the gas station. That's where we wound up. But to look out at all of God's creation. And you know who created that for? For you. For me. Why? For His good pleasure. Amen. God wants to do children. He wants that for you. And if we achieve that, it's because we've loved, lived, and obeyed Him. And then we'll know what to do with it. God is prompt, but we've got to do our personal best. Paul said in Philippians 3:12 through 14, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize is in Christ Jesus. Listen, if you want to get to the Father's heart and to the Father's treasure chest, oh, and I'll say that again, His treasure chest, it'll go through Jesus. You'll go through Jesus or you won't get there at all. As a matter of fact, the lost man cannot get to God the Father unless he goes through God the Son, Christ Jesus. Oh, listen. Jesus has promised. Listen, he came. Let's just read John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Listen, the more abundant life is that life with Jesus Christ. And God is going to provide and place things in the path of where it needs to be in order for you to have that more abundant life. Whew. And as long as we keep that in perspective, guess what? It can get even more abundant. Whew. When we get to heaven, my prayer is that we have an abundance of born-again believing brothers and sisters that we had the privilege of leading to Christ so that Christ could present us and them to the Father. I love those times in Scripture when God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Oh, fathers, that you and I would desire that for our lives as well, that our children would do that we, it could be said of us, "I please my Father. I please my Father." This morning, look at verse 4 and I close. David goes on to say in verse 4, "Be thou strong," he's telling us before, "Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man," the last verse 3, "that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, and with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee," said he, "a man on the throne of Israel." I just want you to see that again. That's what God promised. How much more abundant can he be to you? You don't have an idea, any clue. I don't have any clue. You remember where David started out? I'm done. This is. And look there, I'm only 7 minutes over and I didn't do it. But David was seen in the eyes of his brothers as a ruddy little shepherd boy, a sheep herder of his father's few sheep. Let me tell you how much more abundant. He couldn't please his brother, but he pleased God enough that when the bear came, that was going to attack the few little sheep of his father's, he killed that rascal. And then a lion, and it had to be a male lion, the bad boy, because he had a beard, the Bible says. Oh, David killed him too. David never lost. Oh, this is another sermon. I said I was closing. No, I am. David never lost a sheep. You read the rest of Jesus' prayer. "Father, I've not lost one of them which thou hast given me." Then David goes on down to the valley to check on his brothers, because his daddy sent him. Down there he gets to hear some goofball bad-mouthing his God. He looks around at all the big, strong guys. Y'all hear what he just said? He spoke about God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Why is he allowed to do? Let's just cut it short. I'll take care of it. I'm going in the name of God. My Father. Didn't take him long. When everybody else saw David as nothing, God saw him as king. And his children, fathers, do you hear that? His children, kings sitting upon the throne. That same throne there in Israel, there at the Golden Gate, the throne that Jesus Christ will sit in. He will unseal the gates that not all the any of the bombs and all of them together can open. Jesus will be sitting on that throne. Do you realize what that throne is called? The throne of David. God's word is truth. We must tell our children, obey God, live for God, love God. And there's no limit to what you can do for God, because He loves you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, I've tried to make it a point to keep in context the fact that it is Father's Day, and fathers for the most important thing that we could ever do for our children. It's more than buying them something. It's more than giving them something. It's so much more. It is about doing something and sharing with them something that will last them positively for all eternity. Boy, and you talk about a gift that keeps on giving. That's it. Eternal salvation with eternal security. How do you get any better than that? You cannot. But now let's not get ahead of ourselves. Before you can experience that, you first got to experience a relationship with the Father. You must be a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, there is only one way you can become a child of God, and that is to believe in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that no man cometh unto the Father except by me, Jesus says. So how do I do that, Brother John? You've got to just trust and believe the Word of God. It says, if you'll call upon my name, believing, thou shalt be saved. Because you see, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you believe everything else about Him, that He died for your sins and mine, but that God raised Him on the third day. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. Oh, and by the way, He's coming again to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, we may be also. And you're just going to trust and believe God and obey by coming to God through Jesus Christ the Lord. As I confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why is it important to believe that, Brother John? Because if you believe God resurrected Him, you'll believe He will resurrect you. That's what it's all about. This morning, if you do not have that relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father, led by the Holy Spirit of God, you can this morning. That still small voice is speaking within you. That is the Holy Spirit of God, the only one that can remove the blindness in order for you to see the truth of the Word of God. The question is, what will you do this morning? Fathers, for those of you that are born again, what will you do this morning? What will we do this morning and tomorrow and the next day? Will we live in love like we ought to? I pray that we do. You pray for me and I'll pray for you. Father, we come to you this morning again and we thank you for this precious time. And Father, I thought it very important that Brother Mitchell shared with the church what they're giving to you. Provided, Father, for some of these young fellows that don't have a father or a dad. Father, your church here made it possible for them to go and hear about the father that they do have. Father, for those that got saved this week, all of those that the picture showed were lined up across the platform there at the camp, all that had made professions of faith in Jesus Christ, it's worth it all. Father, I pray and I thank you this morning that we got a glimpse of what fatherhood ought to be and what Father, for what children need, what we need to teach our sons, what we need to teach our children. Oh God, help us. Help us to be what we ought to be so that you would say of us too, I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with you. Oh Father, forgive me for not pressing toward the mark for the prize. Oh Father, like I ought to, because the mark and the prize is pleasing you, Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Father, this morning, whatever the need is, not just of our fathers here, but for all of our folks, Father, I pray that right now in this invitation that you will be pleased at the response of each and every one, whatever it is, to just pray for someone else, Father, to unite with us, most of all, to be saved, born again. Father, that's first and foremost. Everything else pales in comparison to that. But Father, most of all, that at this time you will be pleased. And for that, I say already thank you, Father, and to you be all glory. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ alone I pray. Amen and amen. With heads